My name is Larry. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 3/17/1993. I just celebrated 30 years just a few days ago. And I'd like to thank District 6, Area 15, the Literature Committee, and the Literature Chair for asking me to do this right here. You know, this particular tradition kind of sets the room on fire, tradition three. And we have a few traditions meetings here where I'm at in Murfreesboro. My home group is Back to the Big Book group. We meet every Saturday morning at 8:30. It's a closed big book study, and then we meet every Monday evening at 5:30 p.m. and it's an open discussion meeting with the chairperson picking a topic out of some conference approved literature. And if you're ever in Tennessee, Murfreesboro area, stop by. We have pretty good coffee. We may have some donuts, but we have really, really soft seats. So, you know, this tradition right here, before I start talking about it, just some history and all that. I love the history, and I love to hear people speak of history and read about it. Now, is you know, before these traditions came about, after the big book was published in 39 of April, we kind of, they say, was running in the flying blind times, and now, and you know, at the foundation and everything, there was a gentleman there by the name of Earl T. that, you know, said something to Bill about writing, you know, putting something together, some principles and all, because they were being flooded by letters from groups. And all kinds of questions was being asked and problems and all. And so Bill, with the suggestion and the help of Earl, he started forming the traditions. And, you know, Earl was a big help, not only in the long form of traditions, but also in the short form of traditions, and even forming what we have today, the General Service Conference. And he was a Class B trustee from 1951 to 1954, and you'll find him being talked about in the family afterwards on page 135. He is the gentleman that his wife was nagging him about his smoking and his coffee, and he got drunk. So Bill started writing these, and then in August of 1945. He published the first essay, and it was entitled Modest One Plank for Good Public Relations. And it was on a five-year, beginning of a five-year campaign of the traditions, and also trying to get the General Service Conference going. So with that being said, you know, tradition three, and some people believe, and you know, I can see their point and everything, but for me, it's not really no problem. When we went from the long form of tradition three to the short form of tradition three, we shortened it too much. It caused a little problems. But for me, in the way I look at it, if you have read Language of the Heart, and you've read the 12 and 12, you've read AA Comes of Age, and on tradition three, it the short form doesn't bother me, but it does bother those that have not been exposed to that right there, and it has caused a lot of problems within our groups and all. So, you know, around here where I'm at, a lot of people likes to point to the 12 and 12. in there about the man in there with a stigma of more worse than probably his alcoholism. You know, there's a friend of mine, he's passed and gone on, that I got a lot of history from. You know, he wrote this history. It's the narrative timeline of AA history, Arthur S. Out of Texas. And if you've not never read any of his stuff, I encourage you to do it. It's been a big help to me. And it talks about 1937 on the AA counter of year two, the spirit of tradition three emerged. A member asked to be admitted who described himself to be the oldest member of a victim of another addiction, even worse stigma than alcoholism. A so-called addiction was sex deviant. You know, Bill, he talked about that in at the 1968 General Conference Monday night dinner for the delegates. He talked about that. He was not a drug addict. He was not a drug addict. He was, Bill referred to him as a sex deviant. And of course, the man came in, they let him in. You know, what would the master do? It was said, and that was supposedly Dr. Bob who said this. And they let him in, and, you know, he plunged himself into 12-step work. And that was an acronym. And also, there was another time that, and this happened in New York, and it happened 8 years later in 1945 at the 42nd Clubhouse there in New York. There was a guy, a black guy, that came and asked to be, the police brought him, and he was a convict. He had bleach hair, wearing women's clothing and makeup. And he said he was a dope fiend. And so Barry L., the author of Living Sober, calls up Bill and tells him about it. And he said he was a drunk. And so Bill, he just said back to Barry, he said, did you say he was a drunk? And Barry said, yes. And he said, that's all I think we need to be asking. Was he a drunk? You know, tradition three is about membership, about giving people membership. And it doesn't matter other problems you have after being an alcoholic. You know, I don't care if you're a bank robber. I don't care if you're a drug addict. I don't care if you're black, white, you know, male, female, gay or straight, you know, Christian, non-Christian. I don't care. What I do care about being a member is, are you an alcoholic? And once you say you're an alcoholic, then, you know, bring the person in, you know, welcome him, open arms. And so with that there being said, there's other pieces. You know, in my home group, we have a closed meeting. And we talked about it. What if someone comes in? You know, we try to watch, and someone we don't recognize, we'll kind of go up and kind of feel them out and talk to them and but what if they come in late, and what were they going to do then, you know? And what our group conscience was is if they're not an alcoholic, and they say they're not, and they're talking about whatever problem that they come by with, we just don't jump up and grab them by the collar and throw them out. I don't think that's good. I don't think that's a good look for my home group or AA as a whole. But we don't let them rant too long. And then after the meeting, if it's a lady, one of our lady members will go up and kind of talk to them. And if it's a guy, of course, one of the guys. And we have a pamphlet to say, you know, if it is someone who is a drug addict that's came in there, that's been misled somewhere down the road. We have meeting schedules. And I'm even willing to go with them to some meetings in there, to open meetings. And I've done that. Matter of fact, some years ago, my wife, when she was in the program, very active in the program, very solid, carried a wonderful message, and helped a lot of women, a good, strong member for the group and everything. There was this lady that was coming in, and she wasn't having no luck at all. She was constantly getting in trouble with the law and everything. And she asked my wife to be her sponsor. So they started working together. And it got to a point before they went on in to do an inventory and stuff. The lady said she was an alcoholic. She said she was told at the treatment center that it's going to the AA meeting to say they're an alcoholic. Now that right there is disheartening. It's, you know, here it is, you know, you're on a treatment bus and they're telling you to go to a meeting that's supposed to be spiritual and they're telling you to lie. And so my wife, with this lady, they started going to NA, and she got in NA, got it active, cleaned her life up, become a productive member of the community and everything, and just died here last year with several years of sobriety. She was in the wrong fellowship. She was dying. She couldn't relate. She could not relate. There's things that that people talk about today that I don't relate to. But now when one alcoholic talks to me about their drinking and their thinking and their behaviors, I can identify. My ears perk up. You know, there's a lot of good literature about, you know, other problems. Matter of fact, this little pamphlet right here is a very good one. It's problems other than alcohol. And, you know, it's point blank what it says here. And, you know, says the problem of drug addicts is its severity form lies close to us all. It stirs our deepest interest and sympathy. Many AAs, especially those who have suffered these particular addictions, are now asked, what can we do about drugs within our fellowship and without? And it's got some questions here. It says specifically here is a list of questions we are often asked. Can a non-pill or drug addict become an AA member? And the answer to the question is no, they can't. It's got another question down here. Can such a person be brought as a visitor to an open meeting for help or inspiration? Yes, they can be brought there as an observer. You know, as it talks about in our AA group pamphlet, they can come there as an observer. And, you know, an observer is not a talker. It's kind of like a fly on the wall, an onlooker. You know, someone's just kind of seeing what's going on here. But they can come. My mother, she's in one of her other fellowships. She's never drank in her life. Now, she don't use the what a lot of people use is about, well, all you got to have is desire not to drink. She's never drank in her life. So by her saying, I just got desire, that doesn't qualify her membership as I understand it in her literature. And you got to suffer from alcoholism. you know, in order to be become a member. So here's another question. It says, can a pill or a drug taker who also has a genuine alcohol history become a member of AA? Yes. Yes. I don't know. There's very few that I know that only suffers from alcoholism. They have a lot of other problems. I've got some friends that are alcoholics and have an eating disorder. And I got some friends that are an alcoholic and have a sexual addiction. And I've got a whole lot of friends that are alcoholics and have a drug problem. But you know, they have alcoholism. That's what qualifies them to become a member of AA. Now, here's another little hot topic here is when they say, well, you can't throw no one out of a meeting. Now, that's not the way that I understand it and have read. Matter of fact, ever since Dee started pestering me about doing this right here, and I appreciate it, I was looking for this pamphlet. And it wasn't a pamphlet. It was a Grapevine article. And I think it was written in 1964 by Bill. And he talks about that specific thing. We can't take no one's AA membership, but we can ask someone to leave or ask them to leave or deny them access to a meeting from bad behavior. You know, we can't let someone come in there and take over the group. It's not good for the individual, and it's also not good for the group. And I say that to say this. When I first come in, I started coming to Alcoholics Anonymous in 1990. And of course, like you heard, I haven't gotten sober until 93. But I was the guy who would come in drunk. I was the guy that was loud, obnoxious, threatening, and I was that person. I was the guy who would take over the meeting and scaring a lot of people. And they never asked me to leave and everything. And I think, my gosh, why'd they let me take over that group? Because at that time, the spent, that someone else could share something that maybe I could hear, because I was just constantly loud and obnoxious and everything, didn't have the opportunity. I didn't have the opportunity to hear. So, you know, I wasn't getting no benefit out of it. The group wasn't getting no benefit. The individual that might have been the one to share a message that might get through my heart to my heart, I couldn't hear it. Couldn't hear it because of the way I was acting and behaving. So, you know, that there just kind of leads me to another part in here, and it comes out of our AA group pamphlet, which I think is one of the better pamphlets that we have. And I also believe that if I would study it more, we would study it more. We'd have way less problems within our group and AA as a whole. I really believe that. You know, it talks about in here, you know, about what is an AA group. You know, it tells it right here on page 12. As the long form of tradition 3 clearly states, our membership ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism. It ought to include all who suffer from alcoholism. Hence, we may refuse none who wishes to recover, nor all AA membership ever depend upon money or conformity. Any 2 or 3 alcoholics gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that as a group, they have no other affiliations. Further clarifications of an AA group may be found in the 12 concepts of world service, concept 12, 1 to 6. You know, and it goes there and got some little bullet points down here. There's no penalties to be inflicted for nonconformity to AA's principles. You know, you can be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and choose to never work a step. Never work a step. You still got your membership. And you can choose to be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and never say a word. You know, you don't have to conform to anything. Matter of fact, around here, a lot of times back before our COVID outbreak, we was all holding hands at the end of the meeting. You can be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and not hold hands. You could be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and not believe in a power greater self. You know, you're still, tradition three is very, very open. If I can just open my mind up and hear what people that have way more experience and knowledge and about the traditions or concepts or even the steps, I can hear. I like to think that I'm a pretty open-minded guy. I really like to think that, and I try to be. But I can tell you, on the beginning, I was not a very open-minded person for some years. But, my sponsors have never gave up on me. They still stuck with what they believe in the literature. And I would go off and read on my own. And today I do know that I'm more open-minded. And then it says also, no fees are dues to be levied. Volunteer contributions only. No, there's no fees. There's no dues. You know, it's volunteer contributions only. You know, so, and it goes on, it says, no member be expelled from AA. Membership always to be the choice of the
Larry, you just somehow got muted. Please unmute yourself.
Okay. You got me now?
Yes.
Good. All right. Again, like I just read, it says, no members may be expelled from AA. Membership always to be the choice of the individual. Like I was speaking earlier, I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I can be asked to leave, and I do believe you can ask someone to leave with them misbehaving and doing things and disrupting the meeting and taking away. But you can't take my membership away. Also, here's another. It says each AA group to conduct its affairs as it wishes. It being merely requested to banish from actions that might injure AA as a whole. And finally, that the AA group of alcoholics gathered together for sobriety may call themselves an AA group, provided that as a group,
again, Larry, you became muted.
Well, what's going on? I'll have to watch that one. So that right there, this panel here, it goes on to talks about the groups, about the meetings. It talks about a closed meeting and an open meeting, and I'll. Just like my closed meetings, it says closed meetings are for AA members only or for those who have a desire to stop drinking that have a drinking problem and have a desire to stop drinking. So, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you're welcome in our Saturday morning meeting, or if you have a problem with it and a desire, you're also welcome into our meeting Saturday mornings. But if you're a non-alcoholic and you're just wanting to come to be an observer, you're not welcome into our closed meeting. Now, Mondays at our open meeting, whether you're a member or you do or don't have a drinking problem or a desire to stop drinking or not, you're welcome to come in into our meetings as an observer, visitor, and we welcome that. You know, I've seen a lot of good and bad ways on tradition three, and the best one that I've seen is when groups talk about their meetings and how they're going to observe tradition three. Just like when I was referring to about, we talked about what if someone comes through that we don't get to meet and talk to, how are we going to handle this? And all the group members need to know how we're going to handle this. Now, if one member feels that, hey, we should ask them to leave right then, they need to know that, hey, we are voting this away, that we're not going to do it. We're not going to, you know, embarrass them. We're going to talk to them after the meeting. And they need to be on board with this. And it's not good. It's not good for the group. And we don't need some rogue member going out there and giving my home group, back to the Big Book group, a black eye. And also on tradition three is, you know, just reading the history of it and what little that I was reading right there to y'all today. And can you imagine back in 1937, someone walking in and saying what this person said? Can you just imagine that? You know, he comes in. Can you imagine in 1945 when the gentleman come in and said all what he said? Can you just imagine that right there? I mean, I know today we're more open and understanding with that today. We're talking 1937, 1945. And you know, for those guys to they talked about it. I've never read where they really had no heated debate or anything. And you know, tradition three, you know, what would the master do? He's an alcoholic. There's no more questions need to be asked. Bring him in, you know. Come get a bad cup of coffee. Sit down in my comfortable chair at my home group, you know. Share if you like, you know. Contribute if you want to, you know. Hold hands if you want to or not. Yeah. Leave any time you want to. Come back as often as you want to. You know, just be open. That's what tradition three is about. It's the membership. It's not. It's also, you know, to protect our survival. You know, I was reading in here about the having multiple purpose activities. I was reading about there, you know, we get doing too many things taken away. And I'll talk about this here. It'll probably be close to my time. Is specialty meetings. you know, special to me. And I'll read what it says here in their pamphlet. Some AAs come together as specialized AA groups for men, women, young people, doctors, gays, and others. If the members are all alcoholics, see, that's first. If they're all alcoholics, and if they open the door to all alcoholics who seek help, regardless of professional gender or other distinctions, and the meeting and meet all the other specific findings, an AA group, they may call themselves an AA group. Now, here in my town, I one day went to one of the groups across town, and I knew they had a meeting at that time. And so I went into it, and during their group conscious sometime, they changed it from just a regular open meeting to a women's meeting. And I went in there and I sat down, and one of the ladies asked me, said, Larry, what are you doing here? And I said, well, I just come for a meeting. And she said, you can't be in here. And I said, well, what do you mean I can't be in here? And she said, this here is a women's meeting and you're not welcome. So I got up and I walked to the door, and for the life of me, I couldn't help not saying this. I turned around and I said, okay, I just hope that y'all are not calling this an AA meeting. And the lady says, what are you talking about? And it so happens they had a rack. Pamphlet right there, and this pamphlet, the AA pamphlet, was right there, and I picked it up, and I showed her what it said in there, and I walked out. I was irritated, a little hurt that was going on. But I'm happy to say that a few days later at another meeting, the same lady was there, and she came up to me and said that she apologized and for asking me to leave, telling me I wasn't welcome to be there. And they had a group conscience, and they shared the pamphlet now. And so their group conscience was, if someone comes in and wants a meeting, if it's a man, and the man says, is this a women's meeting? They said their group conscience was that it's an AA meeting. And that was pleasing to hear. Matter of fact, my home group is mostly men, and some men has been talking about us having a men's meeting. And I've been saying that, you know, if we do, and a lady walks in and she says, is this a men meeting? We all need to say just right then, no, this is an AA meeting. You're welcome. And, but we've not so far. One last thing that I would like to read. And I've read it many a times, and a lot of times it brings me into tears, is what Bill wrote in here in this pamphlet, Problems Other Than Alcohol. It says, sobriety, freedom from alcohol. Through the teaching and practice of the 12 steps, the sole purpose of an AA group. Groups have repeatedly tried other activities, and they have always failed. It has also been learned that there is no possible way of making a non-alcoholic into an AA member. We have to confine our membership to alcoholics, and we have to confine our AA groups to a single purpose. If we do not stick to these principles, we shall always surely collapse. If we collapse, we cannot help anyone. I think that's pretty strong right there. You know, I want to help alcoholics, and I don't want to hurt anyone that has another addiction. I don't want to hurt them. I want them to get them to the place that they can identify. It's like I was able to identify. I was a 31-year-old punk, thought he knew everything, going to penitentiary for 15 years. And I met a 61-year-old man that I identified with. I identified with him. He would say he would be in a motel with a half a gallon of Jim Nichols and say, "Why ain't I home with my wife? Why ain't I home with my kids?" And I said the same thing. Why? Why? And he shared the great gift of me. And he shared the traditions with me. Not all the time by his reading and talking, by his action. He shared that. Today, I'm still involved in service. I love service. I want to be in all three legacies. There's times I'm in one deeper than the other, but I want to be in all three. You know, I have a sponsor today. I've had three in my time in here. And they're one of the three guys got sober in the same town together. They knew each other at all. But they all refer to the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. The 12 steps of alcoholics is where the 12 traditions are contained, and the AA service manual. My sponsor today, Larry A., I love him to death. He's a past delegate of Panel 40, and he and I went back and forth on these traditions over time, and I still try to be open-minded. He still tries to be open-minded, I believe, and, you know, I've changed. There's a lot about me I've changed. I'm not that person that was in these meetings that was wanting to grab someone and do harm to them when I was drinking. I'm not that person that was sitting in the meetings when I was sober 5 years, and when someone come in was talking about the other problems, I was wanting to kick them out. I'm not that person no more. It's only because of trying to read and inform and study these principles, these 36 principles, and listening to others that, again, have way more experience and understanding and knowledge that I probably will ever get. And I'm so grateful. And I thank you, and I hope that I've not embarrassed you, D. And again, I appreciate District 6 and the Literature Committee for giving me this opportunity.